an article popped up in the Dallas Morning News, and it was about a local guy who passed away. And it was a fella that in the headline it said, Polio Paul passes away. Did you guys see this?
Okay. Polio Paul.
Did that not register at all?
I did not see it.
I got nothing, man.
So Polio Paul was a man named Paul Alexander who lived his entire life in Dallas. And as you could probably guess, Polio Paul had polio.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay, now that makes a lot more sense.
Kind of like Coach Joe was a coach.
Also named Joe.
True.
Was he named Paul?
His name was Paul. Paul Alexander was a polio survivor who passed away at the age of 78. And what makes this very unique, and we as maybe, I feel like that polio, maybe whenever COVID hit, polio got a little bit of burn in the press. But man, do you guys understand, did you ever talk to your parents about the polio scare of the 50s?
Not really, no.
Okay. It was way more hardcore than what COVID was like. Because with COVID, you would still let your kids run around and play with their friends and things like that. Most parents in the 50s, whenever polio became this widespread thing, you were not allowed to leave the house for X amount of time. Your parents were like, you're not playing with you're for sure not playing with kids that we don't know. You're not going out of the house. And so, you know, my parents were older. They were in college at the time. And so they were kind of out of the danger zone because polio was passed around by sneezing. It was passed around by, you know, drinking contaminated water, by kids, you know, hands in their pants, and it just how kids pass around diseases.
Not communism?
It was not passed around by communism. Well,
it's just kid stuff.
Polio Paul was born here in Dallas, and as a six-year-old, he contracted polio, and he was one of the 1% that was paralyzed within days.
Wow.
Because polio attacks the nervous system. Obviously now, every kid, not to bring up vaccines, but you are vaccinated for polio. And
there was a time not so long ago where vaccines were a modern marvel that had we should all be thankful for every day.
We could eradicate diseases.
Right. Well, unfortunately, we don't look at it that way now.
Libs.
And he was paralyzed at the age of six. And what they did back in the day was they had these machines that were built specifically for polio, which we've heard of. I don't know if you guys have seen them in action, called Iron Lungs.
I only know it because of the Radiohead song.
Okay, have you ever seen one?
Mm-mm.
You don't even know what an Iron Lung looks like.
No.
The Big Lebowski.
Okay, well, just do a search. Yeah, I was in the Big Lebowski, but do a search for an Iron Lung, and a picture will pop up of kids that were put in there in the 50s. It's a breathing machine because you are so weak and paralyzed that you weren't able to breathe on your own. And so Paul was placed in one of these, all right? So I'm going to introduce you. Paul passed away a couple of days ago. Are you seeing it now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it looks
it
horrifying.
Looks like a beating.
Dude.
In fact, we see Paul here.
Okay.
It looks like a submarine for your body with your head poking out.
Yes. Your head is out, and that's it. This machine, which...
How much time do you spend in here?
All
Ever?
Of it. Your entire life.
It's worse than being a bubble boy.
Oh, my gosh.
This man lived 78 years inside of it. Now,
on his back? Just the whole time?
Yeah. He was paralyzed, dude, and he had to have this machine to help him breathe. And so here is Paul talking about it, and this is when he was a 72-year-old man. He did this interview. So this was about 5 or 6 years ago, talking about his iron lung.
Polio's watched very carefully because it's a hideous disease. It's horrible because it's so contagious, and it's the extent of damage to a human being is totally unpredictable. Mine was extensive. One of the worst cases ever recorded. and I'm still here. But I watched thousands of kids in my ward, through my time, at Parkland, die of it, that had considerably less problem. You never know. So, the machine, I can tell you that it is another way of life. It's a different kind of life and that you're totally restricted. Many people would go crazy in it. And I watched them do it in the hospital. But you adapt and you learn to do what you need to do to accomplish your goals and your dreams with the help of the Iron Lung. The Iron Lung is home to me now. It's my friend and it's my enemy. In the end, he keeps me alive.
So when's the fun part?
Okay. So the fun part is...
yeah.
Right.
I might have to agree with Dave here on this one.
The fun part is that this guy lived 78 years and lived a life that you could not even dream of as far as what he accomplished, okay? So here is a piece done. A documentary was done on him. And here is, it's the guy who produced the documentary who's talking, and it's Paul again. You tell me, this man, since he was 6 years old, all he has is a head sticking out of an iron lung. And the fact that they couldn't come up technologically with something better than the iron lung,
yes,
to help these people breathe through the years,
yeah,
is stunning to me.
The iron lung that he was in at the end of his life looked like it was built in the 70s.
Dude, it was built in the 30s.
Was it?
Yes. You're talking about a 100-year-old piece of machinery almost that these people were in and that he was in forever. Okay, so...
can we make this vertical for the guy?
I don't get it either, but here is what this man did in his life. Cut two.
It all started when Paul caught the polio virus when he was just 6 years old during one of the worst polio outbreaks in history.
What did it feel like when you first got polio?
Well, I started feeling ill and playing. I went inside to get Mom, and she turned and looked at me, and she said, "Oh my God, not my son." Over the next 5 days, I lost everything. The ability to move, my legs would not hold me up, and then I couldn't breathe.
He was at home under the care of his mom and dad, and they realized he wasn't breathing. They rushed him to the hospital, and the emergency room physician examined him and pronounced him dead.
Sometime later, another doctor came through and picked me up, according to my mother. A grain of salt would be performed a tracheotomy and put me in the iron lung.
This would make anyone feel like giving up.
18 months later, he left the hospital and came to his residence in Dallas, Texas, but his life was never going to be the same. He couldn't play sports, he couldn't go to church, and he couldn't hang out with his friends.
People didn't like me very much back then.
Paul worked hard to graduate with honors from high school, but...
I did not get into college. They said that I was too crippled.
Okay, pause it there. He graduated from high school with honors. The only thing that he could do, he could read, right? And they show him with a stick. And here's a photo of him doing this. And he didn't have help doing this. He had a stick in his mouth, and he would contort his head to where he would turn the pages to read.
Oh, my goodness.
And he would do homework with a pen in his mouth. And he graduated from high school with honors.
Like he would write with his?
He would write as well.
Oh, my
okay?
goodness.
So... now on to college, they wouldn't accept him because back then it was like, there was no...
too crippled.
You're too crippled. very stereotypical of the times back then.
They just have a big rubber stamp, crippled.
Too crippled.
Carry this over, because I want to talk about it.
Do we have to carry it over? We do, don't we? Do we, guys, back there? You need to speak.
Yeah, preferably.
Okay. We'll carry this over, because there was a very happy ending here. It's an incredible story, and then we'll also get to part two of Friday Funmix.
Got it.
Get over the early afternoon slump with hot sports opinions and laughs with Sean Bass, David Mino, and their buddy Justin Montemayor on The Sweet Spot, Monday from 1 till 3 on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310 The Ticket.
Okay, so we're in the middle of Friday Fun, and I promise you, it is a great story. But it's the story of a guy who just passed away from the city of Dallas named Paul Alexander. He was known as Polio Paul because he contracted polio at the age of 6 years old in Dallas in the 50s.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. When the big polio scare and polio outbreak happened in these United States of America, typically if you got polio, it didn't affect you. It was in and out of you pretty quickly, but there was a small percentage that it got to, and it got too bad. And an incredibly small percentage, I think 1% to 2%, actually, it attacked their spinal column and paralyzed them. And Paul was one of them. And so they put him in an iron lung, and he lived there the rest of his life. Now,
I feel like I could use a video tutorial of how an iron lung works, but...
Okay. It uses, like, negative pressure.
It expands and contracts your chest because of the pressure in the tube, right?
Wild.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's nuts. And it does look like some sort of army surplus machine that was eradicated after World War II.
It's
ridiculous.
But
somehow, for these people, it still is the only way for them to live.
It looks like the cryo chamber in Idiocracy.
Oh, yeah, it does. It does.
Sorry.
So, anyway, we're in the middle of telling his story. He graduated. He lived in this iron lung, paralyzed from the neck down. He graduated second in his class from Woodrow Wilson, and then he's in the middle of talking about going to college, and SMU wouldn't let him in.
This would make anyone feel like giving up.
18 months later, he left the hospital and came to his residence in Dallas, Texas, but his life was never going to be the same. He couldn't play sports, he couldn't go to church, and he couldn't hang out with his friends.
People didn't like me very much back then.
Paul worked hard to graduate with honors from high school, but...
I did not get into college. They said that I was too crippled. I did not have the vaccination.
He didn't accept that.
2 years of tormenting them to death. They accepted me on two conditions. One, that I take the polio vaccine. But two, get a fraternity to be responsible for. Finally, something good happened. I wanted to be a lawyer for a long time.
After years of hard work, Paul passed the bar and became a lawyer.
And I was a pretty damn good one, too.
But he didn't stop
there. Okay, pause it there. So he could get out of his iron lung, and they would wheel him into court. And he was a lawyer for as long as these cases would take. He had some other alternate breathing apparatus that would only last for a short period of time, like while he was at work doing these court cases.
No kidding.
And he was dressed in a 3-piece suit, and he would go defend these clients in court and then go right back to the iron lung within minutes.
Wow.
Yes. This dude graduated second in his class in high school, graduated from University of Texas Law School, and became a practicing, functioning lawyer when the only thing he could do was grab a stick and flip pages to read and write with his mouth and type on a keyboard with his mouth, and he let very few people help him either. It's totally amazing. Okay, go on.
But he didn't stop there. With the help of a pen attached to a stick, Paul wrote his own biography entirely with his mouth.
He wrote a book. He wrote his biography, and then he wrote a children's book as well, with his mouth. It's the most amazing story ever, and he lived right here in Dallas for 78 years, and I had never heard of him until 2 days ago when he passed away.
Dang.
Is that not weird? Like, shouldn't that be a thing? Like, we all know who this guy is? I'm not saying he's Roger Staubach or something like that, but...
Yeah, because Staubach could run.
The story is way more amazing, though, than just... Than just a footnote, oh yeah, this guy died.
You know, next time I wake up and I just can't will myself out of bed, I'm going to think about Polio Paul.
Seriously. Everybody should.
But it does tell you that having a purpose is kind of what drives anybody through life, and not having one and just feeling sorry for yourself would probably do just the opposite. That's remarkable.
I think... holds the record for the longest living polio survivor in an iron lung. Like, there's no one left.
Should that count, though, if he's able to get out of it and go to court?
Well, no, I think that a lot of people, you do have little breaks. Are you diminishing what this guy did somehow? Is Ham like
this? I think I might be.
This isn't a full perfect game. Because you could get out of it once in a while.
Yeah.
The guy graduated from law school,
for
God's sake.
With his mouth,
with his, yes. I don't know, man.
I've seen better.
Yeah, if he could get on a different machine, why didn't he just do that? And he can't have the record if he's in the polio machine, not all the time.
This is unbelievable.
I rest my case.
Right now.
Oh, whoa, wow.
That's lawyering right there.
Is Polio Paul that great, Ham asks. Is it really that difficult to live a life like that? To me, it's one of the most amazing stories this city probably has ever had, and I kind of wish I would have known about the guy. I would have liked to have gone and talked to the guy, man.
Ticket stock, pick games.
Okay, see, now you're reducing things. And
he probably loves football.
Have him point his stick at who the Cowboys should draft.
And by the way, that cheapens his accomplishment by saying a stick. For some reason, there has to be a more professional term
for a utensil.
I feel like, though, that if he would have put his mind to it, he probably could have done what Norm did. And like, if he was like, okay, man, I want you to start looking at these draft algorithms and see who the Cowboys should take.
That's right.
And, like, he would have eliminated Bob's position from an iron lung.
He could have been Bill James or something, right?
He could have been, man.
Yeah, it's an amazing story to consider that he was right here the whole time and we didn't know. So if anyone else has a similar situation, let us hear from you.
There's one other person they said that was about same timeline using the iron lung, and it was a woman who got polio in 1953. And was still using the technology, and so this is it. The technology is gone. It's so that whatever that giant iron lung thing, whatever it was doing, it will no longer.
There's no other use for an iron lung outside of polio?
Yeah, I don't think so. And you know what, Radiohead?
A planter.
You know what, those bastards? You know why they wrote the song "My Iron Lung"? Because they felt that at the time they were trapped by their own success. That's what that song is about. Is that doing a disservice to Polio Paul?
Right.
Radiohead?
If Polio Paul heard that, he'd roll his eyes a little bit.
You think?
Did you know he was big on social media?
Yeah, he had a couple hundred thousand followers, did he not?
410,000 TikTok followers.
Once again.
He would do TikToks.
He also had an OnlyFans.
Why didn't we... Dave? He made himself laugh.
That scored big back here.
He did not have.
He got the immediate
fans.
Double Dave.
It's a pleasure sitting next to you, Dave.
Oh, man. Okay.
And he lets out a little gasp.